This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
So if you've ever had the suspicion that cab rides cost more in Boston than they do in other major cities, it turns out you're right.
We established that much yesterday on this program. For an average trip, Boston has the highest fares of any big city in North America. A $13 swing in Boston will cost you just $9 in Washington, D.C.
So the question is why? Yesterday, we told you about the so-called medallion system in Boston, in which investors pay as much as $400,000 to buy one of the limited number of licenses required to operate a cab.
And that's definitely a big part of what drives up the price. But New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, they all use the same system but have lower fares. So what is going on in Boston? Today, Radio Boston's Adam Ragusea tries to figure out what else makes Boston cabs so pricey.
So, here's something else. Boston's regulation of the cab industry, particularly over the last 2 years, has been quite progressive, or aggressive, depending on your point of view.
Boston, along with New York, and I know of no other city in America, requires that all taxis be brand new.
Mark Cohen, Boston's top cab regulator.
Now, this may seem like a little thing, but it's the difference between buying a car that might cost you $27,000 and one that costs you $2,000.
Okay, so we've got the new car requirement. What else?
We have required that every taxi have credit card machines in the back. And that technology, which is GPS, web-based technology, those systems cost hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, for our industry to put into place.
Plus, there's the 6% that the credit card companies take out of every fare for their processing fee. As much as cab drivers might complain about it, that cost was factored into the last rate hike that gave Boston the dubious distinction of having the highest per-mile fees of any big city in North America.
Frankly, it's the consumer who pays for these situations.
But Boston is hardly the only city to place expensive requirements on its cab industry. New York requires both credit cards and new cars, and fares are cheaper. So again, what makes Boston so special?
Okay, let me print your receipt here.
When we left Tom the Hack yesterday, he picked up a young woman at the airport who was on her way home to Malden Center.
Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you. Your bag's on the corner there.
Perfect. Have a good night.
Take care.
Okay, so now we're in Malden.
Yeah.
What are you going to do now?
Get back the shortest route to Boston, even though that I'm going to have to drive back empty.
Why empty? Well, Tom's cab has a Boston medallion on the back of it. And so, while he can drop people off outside the city limits, he can't pick anybody up, at least not a street hail. So, 9 miles back to Boston we go with an idle meter.
Probably doesn't make a lot of sense as far as our green footprint, but I guess the Malden drivers kind of make a living too.
This is a condition unique among major cities to Boston, where the high-traffic urban core is split between half a dozen municipalities, each with their own rules, their own regulators, their own cabbies.
Does it kill you, like when you take somebody to Harvard Square and then there's, like, fares just dying to be had and you have to drive back over the river?
Yeah, of course. But, you know, in general, the Cambridge drivers run into that more in Boston. They drop someone off in Back Bay and they're on Boylston Street and everyone's waving. It's like they know they're going back to a desert in Cambridge.
Well, there's no question it's inefficient.
Cab business expert Edward Rogoff of Baruch College in Manhattan.
There should be a regional transportation policy that covers this and allows drivers to take fares where people want to go.
I would find it highly ironic if a Boston taxi driver complained about not being able to pick up in the suburbs.
Again, Mark Cohen, the Boston cab regulator.
The issue isn't so much that they can't pick up in the suburbs. It's that they fiercely want us to protect their borders, and they don't want the suburban cabs picking up in the city.
For his part, Cohen would be happy to wave a magic wand, do away with the medallion system, maybe even unite Boston, Cambridge, and Brookline in a regional taxi authority.
But these are pipe dreams. When you have an industry that has rules that go back to 1931, to try to put the horse back in the barn on this thing is exceedingly difficult.
Difficult, but not impossible, says Professor Rogoff.
You know, what's going to happen is the technology is going to make all this obsolete. You're going to have an app on your smartphone, and you're going to say, I want a cab, and a cab is going to show up.
If you arrange your ride in advance, the car that picks you up doesn't need a medallion. It could be a cab from a different city where the rates are cheaper, or it could be one of those livery cars you see everywhere these days.
I think in the long run, unless the regulators get way out in front of this, which I think is unlikely, I think you're going to see the medallion system eventually made obsolete by technology.
And that report from Radio Boston's Adam Ragusa, who joins us here in the studio. And Adam, thanks for that. And stick around while we talk to some listeners, will you?
Absolutely.
Great. Okay, so in today's Talker, we're going to explore this issue a little more. Listeners, do you take taxis? Do you think they're too expensive? What can be done about it? And taxi drivers, do you earn enough to make a decent living? How would you change the system if you could? Give us a call. We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And to start us off this hour, we're joined right now by John Ford, who's worked in Boston's cab industry for the past 4 decades. He's co-owner of Top Cab City Cab, and thanks for joining us, John. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Yeah, so, John, give us your take as someone who's been in the industry for a long time. What do you think, why do you think fares are so high in Boston compared to other cities, even New York?
Well, I think Mark Cohen hit the nail on the head. Number one, the price of a medallion's well over $400,000 right now. In addition to that fact, you got to buy a vehicle at price from $27,000 to $32,000. And the maintenance on these vehicles, as we're just finding out on a brand new hybrid, is absolutely phenomenal. Before, we used to run retired used police Crown Victorias, which you could fix for literally a few cents for this or that. The hybrid Toyota vehicle, just to buy a rear lens is about $400.
I see. So these are obviously all add up to high prices. The big one that you just mentioned there, of course, is the medallion, and that sort of leads to this question. Is regulation the answer? I mean, more regulation, or deregulating, I should say.
I can't imagine, you know, being in the business for so many years, I believe that this business has to be regulated. Now, somebody mentioned pressing an app on your telephone and getting a livery vehicle. That's okay, that could happen. But imagine a livery vehicle driven by a driver who hasn't been checked by the Boston Police Department, hasn't been fingerprinted, hasn't had his Corey checked, and then you put your son or daughter into that car at 3 o'clock in the morning after she's come out of a bar. That makes no sense to me. If you get into a Boston taxi cab, you're going to get into a vehicle that is controlled, regulated. With GPS, we know where the vehicle is, we know where the vehicle has been, we know who the vehicle is driven by, he's been fingerprinted, checked, given a safety seminar at the Hackney Carriage Unit, and they've gone through the process.
John, so let me just ask you then, I mean, because the basic sort of premise behind the last 2 days of reporting that Adam Ragusa has done is that prices are way too high, a lot of people aren't being served by this. Are you happy with the system as it is?
Well, I mean, I've seen the system, you know, back in the old days when it was a nightmare. The vehicles were crumbling. I will give kudos to the Mark Cohen at the Boston Police Department, who's done. I mean, he and I go way, way back. I've seen him back 25 years ago when this industry needed a lot of things done to it. And he is, as he will tell you, he's dragged this industry into the 21st century.
Well, it's true. Cabs have changed. I mean, you mentioned that it wasn't long ago when they were a mess. I recall that. And in that way, there's been some improvement.
I used to drive one of those messes. So I know I've been in the front seat of a cab for hours on end. I've been there. I've done that. And also, I've also owned 3 of the biggest cab companies in the city of Boston. I owned Town Taxi, and now I own City Cab and Top Cab. Right now, we control probably 1/3 of the vehicles in the cab system of Boston.
Well, John, we appreciate having you on the show, and sit tight because we're going to get some questions from listeners. I also want to bring Adam Ragusa into this conversation. And Adam, your story explaining the medallion system provoked a lot of comments online, and I want to read just a tweet from one of our listeners. This is Scott Daltonic that sums up what a lot of folks are wondering. This is about the high cost of medallions. Can't we just drop another 500 medallions on the market and make them far less valuable? Mm. So what about that?
It's a great question, but first I think it's important to remember a couple of things. One, that Boston
alone among all of the cities and towns in Massachusetts is not allowed to set its own medallion cap. That duty falls by statute to the State Department of Public Utilities, if you can believe it. And even their authority to raise that cap is really quite circumscribed. And I want to play you an exchange that I had with their spokesman, Robert Keough.
The department has authority to investigate if it is presented with an appeal by an applicant who has been denied a medallion because they've all been issued. And the department can review whether it's in the interest of public necessity to increase the number of medallions that are issued.
And I assume you have a stack of such complaints around here somewhere, right?
Actually, in the history of this authority in the department, we've only had two complaints that resulted in a review of the number. That was in 1945 and then again in 1990.
And so, Adam, very quickly, what happened in 1990?
A South Boston cabbie named Robert Lynch complained that he couldn't get a medallion because they were all sold. And there's this lengthy legal process. And eventually the state went ahead and allowed the city of Boston to issue a few hundred new medallions. They auctioned them off. They auctioned for higher prices than they'd ever sold for before. It didn't depress the medallion market. And then I think the other kind of question that's implied by Scott is, well, if we had more medallions and therefore more cabs on the streets, wouldn't there be more competition and that wouldn't that drive prices down? But you got to remember that this is the crazy world of a regulated industry where the rates are set by the state. So if anything, I talked to one economist who actually told me this. He said, if anything, if you increase the number of medallions, it would just make it harder for the cabbies to get sufficient business to keep themselves afloat. So they would call for a fair increase, not a fair decrease. So, you know, raising the number of medallions doesn't seem like it's any kind of an immediate solution.
So we're discussing the high price of cabs in Boston. Listeners, do you take taxis? And what kind of change do you think the cab system needs? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. There are those who say the solution to high cab fares is deregulate the industry. Among them is Sam Staley. He's the director of urban growth and land use policy for the Reason Foundation, a libertarian think tank. And he joins us now from the studios of WYSO in Yellow Springs, Ohio. And Sam Staley, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a great opportunity.
So what do you think? What's the regulatory challenge here, in your view? What has to happen?
Well, other than just overcoming inertia, I think what we need to do is refocus regulation on what I think is the core issue, which is whether or not customers are getting the ride and the service they deserve and want at the price that they want to pay. And that really is not the way taxi regulation is set up at this point. Right now, for the most part, as a practical matter, it protects the existing interests of both existing cab company owners and really makes it very difficult for the market to adjust to what customers want.
Well, so how could we adjust regulations to give the customers what they want, in your view? Is it to roll back or do away with this medallion system?
Well, I think the medallion system is a huge impediment to making the market work more efficiently. I think what we need to do is focus less on the supply side and more on the customer side and look at the end of the day, are we providing the taxis and taxi services that customers want? The problem we have with the current system of regulating taxis is we've got a regulatory body that tries to do everything in the industry. It tries to regulate supply, it tries to regulate ownership, it tries to regulate drivers, it even tries to regulate the interaction between the customer and the driver in many cases. So I think the issue here is really to back out and focus on a couple of core regulatory issues and concerns and focus our resources on the things that make the most sense. Now, in my view, and after having looked at dozens of taxicab ordinances and regulations across the country, I think what that means is moving the regulatory system toward one that ensures there is transparency and accountability in providing the service to the customer.
Sam, I'm just going to break in because we have such limited time, and I don't want to get too bogged down in sort of the definition of regulatory system. I'm just interested as a taxi user out there, what would change? How should we change the way the system is operated to make taxis less expensive and more accessible to the average user out there? What would change specifically?
Well, I think the most important thing is to eliminate the medallion system, mm-hmm. to allow the supply of taxis to go up and down based on consumer demand. That in and of itself would probably be the biggest change in the system in Boston, as well as other places, that would affect not only the price that's being paid, but also the availability of the service.
So eliminate the medallion system, which was put in place to limit the number of taxis. But then what happens? Does that mean anybody can go out there and get a taxi? And aren't we going to go back to that point in our history when there were too many taxis out there?
First of all, from a customer's perspective, there are never too many taxis. The problem is we don't have enough around so that we can actually get into them and get to from point A to point B. This is a big difference from the way taxis are operated in the U.S. compared to other places such as Asia, where taxis are a fundamental part of the transportation network. And they're very affordable. They're used by the average everyday person.
And they don't use a medallion system over there.
Very often they don't. It's a more complex system, and very often supply is regulated, but the supply is regulated at much higher levels because their goal is really not to protect the interests of the cab company owners, or for that matter, even the drivers. It's to make sure that there's enough of a service that the customers can have them.
Well, Sam, let's hold on to that point, and let me just put it quickly. We've got actually a bunch of calls that I'd like to go to. So let's go to Alexi from Cambridge, who's been waiting patiently. Hi, Alexi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind?
So I just want to say, first of all, this is a very interesting conversation, and I didn't realize all the background that goes into the whole taxi system. But regardless of all the regulation and whatnot, what ends up happening is in the mix, the customer's view and customer's quality of service is lost. And so I'm actually a transplant to the Boston area from New York. I love the New York City taxi system. I loathe the Boston area taxi system. I live in Cambridge. I want to take a taxi from the Boston airport to Cambridge. I got to pay the guy's toll to Cambridge and the guy's toll back from Cambridge. I can't hail a Cambridge cab in Boston, a Boston cab in Cambridge. There's no, light system on the roof of the taxi to tell me whether or not it's open or available. All, that
all right, Alexi, wait a minute. You're going down a long list, and let's pick up the one that you just mentioned, which I think is really interesting, that you can't pick up a Boston cab in Cambridge and a Cambridge cab in Somerville and a Somerville cab in Medford or whatever it is. This fragmented system. John Ford, co-owner of Top Cab, City Cab, what about that system? Why not have a sort of regional taxi authority, which is something that the New York City area has?
Well, like Mark Cohen said a few minutes ago, it's just the way the system has been set up. A person that has spent $400,000 for the privilege of using a cab in the city of Boston would not feel very happy about having a Somerville cab or a Cambridge cab cruising the streets taking his business, and the same thing applies for a guy who just bought the Cambridge medallion. They don't want people cutting into their business. And as far as eliminating the medallion system, that's a great way to, a great thing to say. But what about the guy that spent his whole life investing in and paying for a taxi medallion? With the hope of someday having it paid off and having a little bit of retirement income once it's paid off, and he can retire and maybe lease out the medallion.
Well, let me ask Sam Staley that. I mean, Sam, we actually had a comment like that on our website that although most of the medallions are in the hands of a very few wealthy people, some of those medallions are owned by people who drive their own cab or work very hard to get them to pay it off. How do we deal with that problem of saying, get rid of the medallion system, you're taking something very valuable away from somebody who's worked very hard for it?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to remember that the reason the medallions are so expensive is because the government has regulated the supply. In other words, these are the price is a result of scarcity that has been induced by regulation. So there's an important point to keep in mind. Now, in terms of dealing with drivers and trying to be fair, you can phase in or phase out the medallion system over a period of years, so the cost of those cars and the vehicles are, and the license itself is amortized to allow for some of that value to be captured before it's completely deregulated. So there, it's really an implementation issue. It's not really one of theory or an empirics of that matter, for that matter.
Go ahead, John.
Adam, another thing that I kind of got the vibration from this gentleman from Ohio is that there's lousy cab service in Boston. I mean, I think you can call my company, and with the new GPS dispatching, you can get a. But at least the problem you used to have before was the cab was always late. Now with the GPS system, the biggest problem is the cabs are arriving too quickly.
You make a phone call for a cab, we hit send, and that vehicle is literally at the door before the person's even got their coat on.
Okay, well, so there's
And as a person that lives in, I live in this industry. I live in it. I'm here every day at 7. I go home at 6. And the way it's been said so far, it sounds as if there's lousy cab service. I think Boston Cab, City of Boston, has some of the best, most expedient cab service in the nation. Sure, there are spot needs. There's like on a rainy Friday night, New Year's Eve, you're not going to get a cab. No one's going to get a cab.
You know, John, I think the overall concern that's been expressed here is about the high cost of cabs in Boston and what. But let's hear from a cab driver. We've got one on the phone right now, Fued from downtown Boston. I understand you're a cab driver. What's on your mind?
Hi, Anthony. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I just want to actually mention something in regards to like the money that's flowing into the industry. I think the cab drivers are not getting most of this money. Somebody, because we put in a lot of hours into driving, and at the end of the day, we're not getting all that money or a big part of that money. The other thing is that at some nights, you see people driving down from Cambridge going back to Boston. You see people in the cold. They break your heart, and you want to pick them up, and you cannot because the Cambridge police, it just gives you a hard time picking them up. And I'm telling you, you know, this is basically regulated, and, you know, at the end of the time, at the end of the day, you know, this, you know, whatever you see regulations, the market powers doesn't interfere and doesn't decide how much money is the cab costing.
Yeah, Fued, I appreciate your call, and I want to come back to Adam Ragusa here.
Yeah, it's interesting, Anthony. There are so many turf wars with regards to the taxi regulation between the respective municipalities. You especially have lots of incidents of Brookline cabbies getting busted in around the Brighton area along the Brighton line by Boston cabs, and they feel, frankly, persecuted by the Boston police in that regard. And then you also have situations just where the respective municipalities can't agree on really fundamental regulatory things like the credit card requirement. We've been talking about Boston having a credit card requirement. We heard about it on Morning Edition this morning with Bob. It doesn't apply in Cambridge. There's no credit card requirement in Cambridge, the second biggest cab market of the urban area. And what Cambridge isn't even considering a credit card requirement. What they're considering right now is a requirement to have a sticker on the window that says whether or not this cab takes credit cards. But they have ruled out, at least for the near or middle term, the possibility of requiring credit cards. So there's so much disagreement between all of these different camps, and it seems difficult to imagine how they could all reconcile in the way that people sound like they wish they could.
We're talking about the high cost of taxis in Boston, among other issues. Let's go to let's go to Daniel, who's calling from Newton. Hi, Daniel.
Hi. So I'm here a long time. I'm originally from Israel. I have a system there where a cab can pick up a party, then they can pick up another one on this. Let's say they're going down Beacon Street, they could pick up one at Cleveland Circle, or somebody can hail them down at Coolidge Corner, somebody can hail them down at Kenmore, and they all end up at Government Center or something. And fares are automatically much cheaper. Hmm. And they're part of the transportation system. Essentially, they run kind of the same route as, basically any bus that might be going down Beacon Street could be hailed.
I see. So you're saying that the sort of collective cab notion, so they've got a passenger and then they can pick up more passengers as they move along a particular route.
Think of all the pollution of all those cabs in the parking lot waiting 30 minutes before they can even go get a customer. I mean, that cab is on 8, 10, 12 hours a day, whether it's got passengers or not. So all that gas is burning, all that pollution. It's just a totally crazy system.
Well, let me put that idea to Sam Staley. Sam, is that an idea that might work in an American city?
I'm sorry, the connection cut out. Can you just repeat real quickly?
Sure, very quickly. The idea of a collective cab system where cabs pretty much move along prescribed routes and can pick people up as they go along, but more than one passenger at a time.
Yeah, I do believe that should be an option. In fact, I think one of the problems with our transportation network in the U.S. is that we tend to have it very segmented. So, and part of that has to do with the whole range of regulation that for everything from cabs, which are point to point to vans that could be running either point to point or along specific routes. Very often, it is illegal for a cab or even a van service or any type of, I think, other than a public transit bus to run along a regular route. Yet there are lots of potential customers along those routes. So I think it really does make sense to allow much more variety in the kinds of services that are provided.
And Sam, I'll point out really quickly that in the case of the city of Boston, we have a number of black market or illegal cab services, gypsy cabs, jitneys, doing essentially that very thing and serving those areas of the city that don't get a lot of traffic from the mainstream medallion cabs. And I'd be interested to hear what you have to say about that.
Well, what's interesting about the gypsy cabs is that when I actually did some research on this in a couple of different cities in the Midwest, I quickly found out that just because there was not official taxi service in a neighborhood, in fact, there were taxis. There were a lot of illegal gypsy cabs and others that were providing either gray market or black market services. And that's a whole dimension to the transportation issue that is hardly even touched on or explored. And where they exist, of course, is in the neighborhoods that are not particularly well served by the formal or the legal taxicab markets, but also they appear during times of very high volume where there is a lot of scarcity. For example, Saturday nights when it's raining cats and dogs out. There are drivers that will be out there in their second vehicle, and they've hired someone else or another driver is running their legal vehicle. So that's something that's worth talking about. Unfortunately, I haven't seen much good hard data on it, but I know it exists and it's pretty important.
We are running very close to being out of time. I want to give the last word here to John Ford of Top Cab City Cab. John, last word in this segment. If there's one thing that needs to happen to improve taxi service, maybe bring prices down, what would it be?
That's a good question. I think it's already being done by the Hackney Carriage Unit and by the industry itself, upgrading the equipment, new equipment, GPS dispatching, satellite-guided GPS dispatching, education of the cab driver, the installation of the credit cards. Our business jumped 22% within a month after installing credit cards in the backs of cabs. That was probably one of the most important things they did. It just opened up a whole new avenue of business to us. People that don't carry cash and use a credit card, they're now, instead of calling a limousine, they're using a taxi cab.
John Ford, I want to thank you so much for coming on the program and doing all you do and helping move Bostonians around the metropolitan area. That's John Ford. He's co-owner of Top Cab City Cab in Boston. We also heard from Sam Staley, Director of Urban Growth and Land Use Policy for the Reason Foundation. Thank you, Sam Staley, for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
And Adam Raguzia, thanks to you as well for your fine reporting.
Oh, thank you.
And thanks to all our listeners for calling in. We'll be back after a short break. Up next, we explore what the classic Greek tragedy Ajax can teach a modern audience. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.